I draw your attention to the prophecy of Isaiah and the 17th chapter thereof. Isaiah chapter 17 and verse 1. The burden against Damascus. Here we have another declaration of judgment against an ancient civilization, this time that of Syria. Notice that for both Isaiah and the Holy Spirit who inspired him to pronounce judgment is in fact a burden. It is a burdensome thing for so gracious and kind a God to pronounce judgment. And yet God is righteous and holy and just, and pronounce judgment against evil he will. It begins, "Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city. It will be a ruinous heap. The cities of Aroah are forsaken. They will be for flocks which lie down, and no one will make them afraid." This great Syrian civilization is going to be dealt a terrible blow by the Assyrian nation. Syria and Assyria sound very similar, but one is about to attack the other, and the other will reel from the blow. God has raised up the nation of Assyria in order to judge the surrounding nations. And here we are told that the great urban centres of that land, in fact, will only be fit for pasture. The flocks will go there and they will not be afraid. There will be no abattoir, no slaughterhouse, no butcher shop. They will just be pasture land. Another way of interpreting the verse is that nobody will be afraid in those cities anymore, because nobody will live in them in order to be afraid. Verse 3, "The fortress also will cease from Ephraim, the kingdom from Damascus." And here the fortified places of Israel are going to be no more. It may be a reference to the capital, Samaria. And what has happened here in the world of Middle Eastern geopolitics is that the northern kingdom of Israel has formed an alliance with Syria in order to defend themselves against the growing might of Assyria, whom God had raised up to humble them. And the fortress of Ephraim will be no more. Syria will no longer be an independent kingdom. The remnant of Syria, they will be as the glory of the children of Israel. Well, here, of course, that sounds rather hopeful. But Israel, the ally of Syria, will have no glory. It too is ripe for judgment. So by saying that the glory of Syria will be as the glory of the children of Israel, Isaiah is being ironic. They will in fact have no glory between them. Glory comes from being in a right relationship with God, to obeying his law and his statute, to being a faithful nation to him. Israel has been an unfaithful nation. Syria has been very good at being a pagan nation. Their glory is the glory of the dunghill, and they share it in equal measure. Verse 4, "In that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob will wane, and the fatness of his flesh grow lean." So anybody who reads verse 3 and wonders at the wonderful glory of Israel, is Isaiah really being ironic? Well, he makes it clear in verse 4. Jacob, his glory, is waning, diminishing, shriveling up. And he, of course, his flesh is growing lean. No longer full and vigorous, he is growing thin and gaunt and weak. He thought his strength was in the size of his army, the size of the palace of the king, of the number of men he's able to muster. In fact, because he has abandoned the Lord his God, he is fading away. Anybody who lives their life without Christ is fading away. They will be no more. It shall be in verse 5, "When the harvesters gather the grain and reaps the head with his arm, it shall be as he who gathers heads of grain in the valley of Rephaim." Notwithstanding the ancient principle that the grain around the edge of the field was to be left for the poor to come and glean and gather and eat for free. But the grain in the middle of the field was to be properly and carefully collected and harvested. Each one of those heads of grain represented vital and precious food or profit. And just as the harvester does a thorough job in gathering the grain and reaping the head, so the Lord and his agents, the king of Assyria, will be absolutely thorough in their dealings with Syria and Israel. They will destroy that kingdom. Judgment is pronounced. It will be carried out. In the sixth verse, though, there is a degree of hope. Yet gleaning grapes will be left in it. Like the shaking of an olive tree, two or three olives at the top of the uppermost bough, four or five in its most fruitful branches, says the Lord God of Israel. In both Israel and even in Syria, though this terrible force, the king of Assyria, Tiglath-Pileser, is going to come and humble them and apparently destroy them, yet God has determined there will be a remnant. And when you have olives on a tree, you shake them when they're ripe, and perhaps a few olives further up don't fall, their attachment to the tree being more secure. They are left, of course. Well, there will be two or three olives left. Likewise, there will be four or five remaining in the branches. There will be a few grapes left on the vine that will not be taken away by the predatory men of Assyria. And here we have a very favourite theme of Isaiah the prophet, the theme of the remnant. Although judgment is coming, some will be spared. Elijah bewailed the fact he was the only one left who had not followed Baal, but the Lord said, I have reserved for myself 7,000. We, in our own day, are conscious that very few churches remain faithful to God's words. Many of them now are dancing at the altar of Baal, especially in this month of June. Well, Britain is ripe for judgment, and the so-called churches of Britain are ripe for judgment. And yet God, once again in our own day, as he did in that of Isaiah and that of Elijah, has reserved for himself a remnant, a real people, a true church, those who will not fall when the olive tree is shaken, those who will not be crushed in the wine vats when the grape harvest is gathered in. The seventh verse, of course, I'm not going to speak on today. I'll look at that next week. But in verse 7 of Isaiah's prophecy in the 17th chapter, he talks of man once again looking to his maker. And God has always had a people on this planet, even in the darkest days of medieval Europe. God had a people. Even in the dark age, God had a people. And in the dark times in which we live, he has a people. Men continue to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. So what can we get from this short passage we have looked at this evening? Number one, judgment is coming. Number two, the glory of unbelievers, both within the church and without the church, Syria and Israel, will be equal. There will be no glory at all beneath them. Those who live apart from God and his word are diminishing, getting thin, dying, for they have abandoned the source of all life. And yet, even in times of judgment, even in times of despair, even in times where the glory has departed, the Lord has reserved for himself a remnant. And I pray tonight, you are a part of it, or will endeavour to become so. May God bless his word. Amen.